How many faith finishers do we have tonight? Let me see. Come on. How many game players? Any game players tonight? So we got people that are actually in here believing Jesus Christ, right? Well, listen, if we're walking in faith, faith should do something, shouldn't it? Faith should produce something, shouldn't it? Well, let's go for it. Look at somebody and nudge them in the side and say, let's go for it. Let's work this thing. Well, I'm serious about that. I'm not in here to play games. How many say, look, I'm not in this thing for a game. I've decided I'm going to believe Jesus, and I found out that his word says it should do something. So I'm going to go for that. Amen. I'm going to try it. How many ever just found anybody ever got into any type of company? Anybody found a business deal or an investment deal, and you know what? They just wanted all your money, but they said, oh, it might not do anything, but still give us your money anyhow. And weren't you just running to get into that? How many of you ran to get into that? And you just ran. They said, we need $500 of your dollars, and it might work, probably won't work, you know, and chances are it won't work, but give us your $500 anyhow. How many of you just ran toward that and just got all into it? Anybody into one of those things? I mean, you know it's not going to work, but you still keep plugging in. Well, listen, the church and Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, can be the same way. People keep plugging on into to things they call religious, not putting anything back. Well, listen, you find a God thing, every good God thing that you sow into should come back to you. It responds. We have a responsive God. And when you're sitting out there walking in something that you're calling faith and you're not getting any response back, come on. You know, I wonder what you're seeding into. We're out here to do the God thing. And maybe I can find 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 people that'll get an agreement and start to do something. I'm ready to see something. I'm just in the mood for it. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 28. Woo! The powerful word of God. Something different. Something different. Or you might want to get religious. You might as well hang that up. You might as well hang that up. I ain't going back. Not going there. We're going all the way with Jesus Christ. You won't catch religion in here. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? How many of you people want to do nothing? Anybody just got in the mood you didn't want to do anything? You just don't want to do nothing. Well, you get tired of that after a while, don't you? And you just want something to happen. Say, I want something to happen. I'm getting bored. I'm ready to experience some form of life, right? Well, these guys sat up there and said, what shall we do? And I'm saying to you tonight, what shall we do? I'm ready to do something. I like the word do. How about you? I like the word do. I like the word activation. I like words like life, move, you know, create, do, action, verbs. Come on, say do. You know, that's something people get afraid of when they get into church. You know, they want to talk about God, but they don't ever want to see him manifest. They don't ever want to see the church come into power. They don't ever see anointing do anything. But God's ready to do. Say, that's the word. The word is do. Say, do something. Say, do something, Lord. Do something. So, we sit up here tonight and they say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There is a work of God. So what do we got to do in order to work the work of God? Well, they wanted to do the things that Jesus was doing. And they say, look, I want to do those things. What should we do? They would look at some of the things that Jesus moved in, some of the things that he taught, some of the miracles that they saw. And they said, what do we have to do so we can do some of that? I want to do some of that. Have you ever got to the point to where you wanted to do a little bit of something that you saw? Say, I want to do that. Do you want to do what Jesus did? The Bible says greater things you'll be able to do than what you've seen him do, that Jesus do. Greater things will do. Do you want to do that? I'm going to ask you again. Do you want to do that? You know I want to do that. From the bottom of my heart, I want to do that. Would be nothing better to do right now than do a work of Jesus tonight. I'm after the works tonight. So let's have some fireworks. That's when the Holy Ghost starts to demonstrate. We're ready to see some works. All right. And they say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Do you know there is a work of God? Did you know there is a work of God? Touch somebody and say, there is a work of God. And you know what? The work of God is not being religious. Oh, my goodness. Don't you know there is a work of God? They said, look, they saw him do something, so there is a work of God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Hey, Crystal, there is a work of God. Why not do it? Okay? So they asked him the question. First of all, we got to realize that there are all kind of works. But we want the work of God, the thing that only God can do, the anointing of the Holy Ghost can pull off. Anybody can counsel just about, right? Anybody can just about sing a song. But can anybody just work the work of God? I think I'd like to see God working around the Woodlands, Texas. How about you? Wouldn't it be nice to see him work just around Texas or in America someplace? See God go to work? Well, listen, he completed his job, didn't he? And then he went up and sat on high at the right hand of God the Father, right? Sat there. He's seated. He ain't working no more in that form. But if he's going to work in the earth today, guess what? He's going to work through you, the living and victorious church. That's the only way. He said that in Scripture. Some of us are so dense that we refuse to believe the Bible. We're waiting for the trees to start to heal people. We're waiting for earthquakes and tornadoes and plagues and Y2Ks and all kind of stuff to tell us that's a work of God. We want disaster to do the work of God. We want war to do the work of God. We want San Francisco, when things getting worse and worse, we want that to be a work of God or a manifestation of what God was talking about, right? Well, God's got better than those things. He's got better than those things. He's got the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got power, he's got anointing, and he's got ability, he's got miracles. But all we got to get there and say, what do we have to do to work the works of God? Let me see, what would be a good work of God? Everybody think real quick. What would be a nice work of God? I think Moses worked it when he worked the water. When he made the water stand up on top of each other. That's a work, isn't it? That's a work, isn't it? When Elijah went with the prophets of Baal and caused his offering to catch fire and the other one wouldn't catch fire. Well, that's a work, isn't it? That's a work. Same God. You know, when the church prayed, when the apostles were in prison and they prayed and they sang songs and all of a sudden the earthquake and the prison doors were open. Well, that's a work. Well, we're getting too caught up trying to get people together. Now, we know that people are an ingredient to revival. But we need to get to the point, listen, we can rustle each other as much as we want to. But he didn't say in order to do a work of God, you got to rustle each other. They said, how do we get a work done? And they said, this is how you get a work done. This is the work of God that ye might believe on him whom he sent. To believe on Jesus Christ starts the work. Faith is where we work. And when we work faith, then God works mighty works. When we start to walk in faith and not in doubt, believe God. Get out there and trust God. Get out there to do something we can't do ourselves. We got to see it on the inside before we can get it on the outside. When we start to work the work of faith, God will start to work what? Wonders among us. Now listen, he's not going to do a mighty work in you unless you believe he'll do it. Unless you believe him, do it. How many believe in God for a miracle? How many you want to see a miracle? Well, you got to believe a miracle. You got to find an area. Focus your faith on it. Get the word on it and start to believe God. And guess what? It'll come to pass. Say the first step to us working the works of God. Tell five people right now in the spirit of God. Tell five people with boldness, I'm about to work the works of God. We're about to put on a show. Say, display his glory. He wants to. He wants to. But it starts with our faith. He said, and this is the work. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye may believe on him whom he sent. Isn't that good? And Jesus said unto them, skip on down to verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never, ever, ever, ever thirst. Say, I'm never going to be hungry for anything. For anything. What does that mean? You know what? Hunger just doesn't go with food and water. People hunger is like a craving or a desire. See, there are people hungering for relationship. Uh-oh. I noticed something that when I got my faith walk together, I don't hunger. And I'm not just talking about food. And when I see people allow their faith to decrease and to diminish, they start hungering things that the word already said they had. What does it mean? They let their faith get down. Then they start hungering, oh, I'm so lonely. I need this. I need that. You know, my house is not hunger. Hunger. Those that believe on me shall never hunger. They'll always be complete, satisfied, and full. You know, this life of faith does not make us greedy for more. That's not what it's about. It makes us live out his word with confidence. Faith causes us to become content, even though we have all things. Shall never thirst, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, there's coming a degree to where we don't live after our own cravings and after our own desires. Guess what? And even the work that we want to do, that spiritual manifestation that we want to display, guess what? It's not of our will, it's of the will of God. Say, there's a work in me, willed of God. It's called the anointing. You know, it's a great thing to get up here before you come to church. What do? You empty yourself completely out. And what's willed of God will happen. No agenda, but the voice of the Holy Ghost. But the voice of the Holy Ghost. And this is the Father which sent me, and all that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it again at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. The will. This is the will. This is the will of God. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God, that you would believe on the Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on him and trust in him and wait on him, and that you might have everlasting life as a result of your believing on Jesus Christ. Because I believe on the Father. What's that everlasting life? Whatever. What's that everlasting life? This is the will of God. Everlasting life. Where is life? Somebody will say, life is on the inside. Say it. Life is on the inside. This is the will of God. That you believe on the Son. And when you believe on the Son, guess what? You inherit everlasting life. Well, that everlasting life is an abundant life, which is on the inside. You will inherit the life of God, which is all on the inside. You'll start to inherit that and walk in that and live in that immediately. Not necessarily, even though we don't die, we live on forever, but it's more than that. We already have everlasting life. Tell somebody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish in anything. Would not perish. I don't have to perish tonight. In my mind, I don't have to perish. In my finances, I don't have to perish. We don't have to perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't say shall have. Bible says, but they shall have everlasting life. God wants you to inherit everlasting life now. And let those that want to hear, hear. Let those that want to hear, hear. The Bible says, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, let him hear. Well, listen, you hear tonight. See, some people want to play church. Ain't nobody playing no church. We're declaring the oracles of God. God's ready to come. He's ready to prove himself. He's ready to manifest. He's ready to do things. Anybody ready to hear? Okay, so this is the work of God, that you would believe on him. And those that believe on him, they shall inherit everlasting life. Say, the life of faith. Which is my believing on him, somewhere in the middle, which is believing on him will cause me to have everlasting life. Say, I'm about to grab a hold of everlasting life. Say, I'm about to grab a hold of everlasting life. I'm about to get charged up by the life of God. Say, I'm about to find out something that was promised to me and grab a hold of it. I'm about to inherit. Say, I'm coming into my inheritance tonight. Say, I'm coming into my inheritance tonight. Say, I'm walking in faith. And when I start to believe God, something happens. And that thing that happens is called everlasting life. And inside of that everlasting life, anything can happen. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Uh-oh. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And he is also our life, right? Say, this everlasting life that I have, that I inherit, is God. Say, the life that I live is God. I'm living in God. What does that mean, this eternal life? Somebody says, it means you just live. It's more than that, people. He said, I am the bread, the sustainer of life. The essence of eternal life itself is God. What are you living off of and what are you living by? God. He is the sustainer, living in and through and of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When you put off this body of flesh lives off of bread and earth brown things, bread and water and things that grow out of the earth. But the spirit of life, your spirit, man, guess what? It lives off the bread of heaven, which is Jesus Christ, God. He is the sustainer of life. The life that I'm living is God. The thing that motivates me is God. When I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost, guess what? It's not an impression. It's not just an inspiration. It is the Spirit. It's God. Say, he's in, through, above, all things. God's getting all over me. Come on, we're talking about the life of God. Say, it's life, and that life more abundantly. Say, I'm living by the life of God. He just doesn't give you water from heaven and bread from heaven. He is the water from heaven. He is the bread of heaven. Glory to God. He gives you himself and says, live off of me. You know what? He's not cutting up no cows no more and sacrificing calves and cows to supply your need. He is the perfect sacrifice. And he said, live off of me. See, that's what faith is all about, people. It's about taking your dependence off the things of the world and living off of God. Say, I will be totally nourished and supplied of God. See, that's what it's all about. He wants to be your all in all. See, he wants to be so entangled with you and so entwined with you that you can't do without one another. Closer and closer still. We're talking about faith.
Is anybody finding about this life that you got on the inside of you? See, what does it mean? It means when you're walking in faith, you're walking in God. Say, I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. Say, I'm in a heavenly place in Jesus' name. Hey, I got a hold of life and life more abundantly. See, that's life.